Viking believes that a journey on the rivers of the world can be an experience designed for the thinking person. Viking, exploring the world in comfort. Learn more at viking.com.
Learn how to plan, invest, and live smarter with the Raymond James For What It's Worth podcast. Featuring insights from leading professionals, you'll get the latest in wealth management, market commentary, and engaging research. Listen today at raymondjames.com/podcast. I'm Jace Lacob, and you're listening to Masterpiece Studio. And with a final toast to their delirious years in Greece, the Durrell family bids goodbye to Corfu.
To us all, in these sacred years, and the future.
To the future.
Yamas.
Yamas.
It's a finale that's true to life. The real-life Durrells spent but 4 short years together in their Corfiat ramble, reluctantly decamping in 1939 as the rumbles of World War II grew louder.
Please come home with us, Larry.
I can't. When they start trying to take away your freedom of speech, you have to stop talking, you know what I mean, and help.
But we here at Masterpiece Studio weren't ready to say goodbye to the Durrells in Corfu just yet.
I would love to be a sloth because the thing about sloths are, like, they do literally nothing and then they'll turn their head like an inch and then everyone in the room will go, oh, like, that's amazing. Like, they do, like, minimal effort and get maximum, like, praise and, like, appreciate. It's just amazing. I'd love that. That'd be so cool.
It's a really special place. It's a bit like what I'd consider heaven to be like, I think. I think that's what it would be. It is just incredible.
I mean, personally, I adore the show because of the amazing memories that I've got filming it, and also because I think I used to watch it with my mum, my dad and my sister at home, and they'd all love it. And they say to me, you know, even if you weren't in this, you'd absolutely love this show because it's just magical.
We spoke with 3 of the fictional family members at the heart of the series. Callum Woodhouse, who plays Leslie, Daisy Waterstone, who plays Margot, and Milo Parker, who plays Jerry, about saying goodbye to the beloved series after 4 seasons in the Mediterranean sun. And we checked in with series creator and head writer Simon Nye to discuss just how he found such a satisfying way to leave the Durrells behind.
It was nice to end, I think, with them with their feet cooling in the sea and enjoying for the last time the sort of simple pleasures before the sort of war encroached on them.
What's obvious to any Durrells viewer is the genuine closeness of the actors playing the family at the heart of the story. It's something that all 3 Durrell children spoke of when they reflected back on their years filming the series.
When we all kind of met at the same time at the read-through, we all had this click, and it was interesting because it's kind of like a click that doesn't come that often. And it's kind of like we'd known each other all our lives and we're all together. And it was so quick, that kind of suddenly best friendhood that we all had. And I'd never had that before so quickly. And it was very special for all of us. And I think that really helped a lot with the show and how we felt so close to each other and that we'd known each other all our lives.
In that first week rehearsing in Corfu, by the end of that first week, we were a family, and like, it's not, our relationship hasn't grown stronger since then. We were a unit like 1 week in, and it's just stayed that way throughout the whole 4 seasons.
It was crazy how quickly we all started to get on with each other. It was really amazing, and there was a real family sort of tight unit on set, and that really comes across on screen, I think. And you know, I absolutely, you know, adored working with the family. It was all fantastic, and I looked forward to going into work every day and seeing them all, so it was just fantastic. I loved it. The close bond really stayed through, actually. I think the only thing that changed was we got closer every year. I mean, we spent a lot of time together during filming, and you know, we were all always working very closely together, and that sort of made us become, you know, like a, I mean, it's a real cliche, but we were like a real family, and we gave each other advice and we took each other's advice, and it was a real, as I say, a real tight unit, and it was just fantastic to get to know these amazing group of people over the last 4 years.
Some of the on-screen magic came from the assembled Durrell family, sure. But everyone here agreed, the island of Corfu was more than just a picturesque backdrop, offering a majestic and wild element all its own.
It's always going to hold an incredibly special place in my heart as somewhere that I kind of feel like I call my second home now, because it's nice to know somewhere that isn't London, like the back of my hand, and just every section of it, every cave in it, every beach. It's just, it's incredible. I love it so much.
Corfu is the real star of the show, more than any of us, really, I think. It's just the most gorgeous place, you know, visually. It's just, some of the views you can get there are incredible. The people are lovely. They're so welcoming. Every year we were welcomed with open arms and they couldn't do enough for you. And that sort of combination and the culture as well was very different to anything I've really experienced before. So it's just a completely different way of life. And I absolutely, you know, adored it there.
It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. You know, the sea is just amazing to swim in. It's the Adriatic Sea, I think. And the people there are so welcoming. They'll do anything for you.
And as for that ever-growing animal menagerie on Corfu, Mossop the dog, who plays Roger, has been usurped.
Do you know what? Every year I always say that Mossop the dog, who played Roger, is my favourite. But I think after Series 4, I may have a new one. I mean, this is breaking news. I think that my new favourite could be, we had an owl on the show this year, a beautiful barn owl, who was the softest, most well-behaved little owl I think I've ever seen. One of the only owls I've ever seen, really. But it was just beautiful. And we had two of them, actually. There's only one in the show, but we used two owls. They were called Twit and Twoo. And they were just amazing, and they were identical, and they were so well behaved. And our fantastic bird trainer, Anthony, he could tap his thumb and hold it out, and this owl, wherever it was, would just fly, you know, good as gold to its arm. And it's just extraordinary, and it was the most gorgeous animal to work with. So I think that may just have got the edge on Mossop there, which is very hard for me to say.
I would always wanted to just sort of be around a sloth, and I got to be around one, and they are fascinating creatures. Like, I would love to be a sloth, because the thing about sloths are, like, they do literally nothing, and then they'll turn their head like an inch, and then everyone in the room will go, like, that's amazing. Like, they do like minimal effort and get maximum like praise and like appreciate. It's just amazing. Like, I'd love that. That'd be so cool.
I'd say actually my favourite is the pelicans, because they used to just walk about the set, and it's not every day you kind of, you walk to the toilet and there's a pelican walking next to you. You know, it just very tame and chilled.
As this fourth season ended, Milo, Daisy and Callum had mixed feelings about where their characters ended up and explained how playing Jerry, Margot and Leslie changed their own lives. Parker, who is still deeply involved with the Dural Wildlife Conservation Trust, was sad to leave his fictional zoo behind, but pleased to see that both he and Jerry grew up after 4 years on Corfu.
I'm an ambassador now for the Dural Wildlife Conservation Trust and Jersey Zoo, which is obviously what Jerry went on to set up after he left Corfu. So I'm really involved with that side of things now, which is, you know, an honour. And it's just really made me appreciate the need to conserve our biodiversity and all our creatures. And it's just made me really aware of the issues and the threats that face these creatures. So it's definitely made me a lot more aware of things, I think.
Waterstone was pleased that Margot ended the series with a stronger sense of self-confidence and grateful that in playing her for 4 seasons, she too became more sure of herself.
I feel like she's just grown into a great, sparky young woman, and I feel like she's kind of taught me just to be myself and not to be anyone else and enjoy life and give it a go. Even if you fail, it doesn't matter, you can do something else, and everything's positive for her. And I've really been kind of using that throughout my life now, where, you know, not to be afraid of things and just to keep going. And it doesn't matter if I fail, because failure is leads to success always. And I feel like she's really instilled that in me. And I'm very lucky that I got the chance to play somebody like that so early in my career. Just someone who knows herself.
In order to keep her vision of Margot grounded, however, Waterstone has avoided reading Margot Dural's own memoir, Whatever Happened to Margot.
Just before I started filming, I wanted to read it and I thought, hang on, it's going to be her when she's older. And I'm not playing her when she's older, I'm playing her as a teenager. So I thought, okay, I'm going to read it when we finish the whole thing, and it will be a nice goodbye to Margot and have that. And then for my birthday this year, my dad got it for me and I burst into tears. And he was like, why are you crying? And I was like, well, because I don't want to say goodbye to her. And that was what I decided to read. I'll be like, when I finish playing her, I'm going to read that to say goodbye to her. And I just don't want to say goodbye to her. So it's sitting on my bedside table, unopened, And I keep looking at it and I'm like, I can't do it yet. I can't. And, you know, it's been quite a grieving process, actually. And I feel like it would make it worse, but maybe it wouldn't. And, you know, it's becoming a bit of a battle, but I will eventually, I think maybe I need to leave it a couple of years.
Woodhouse was pleased that Leslie grew up and grew into himself, too. But he's avoided thinking much beyond the end of the series, as the real Leslie Durrell had a less than rosy future ahead of him.
You know, I do feel quite close to Leslie after playing him for so long. So I don't really like to sort of think about what happened to him. I guess I just sort of like to think that he was happy and like for his sort of remaining years, but I really don't know if he was.
A brief word from our sponsors. All Veranda Staterooms. Every day, a new view. Viking, offering a small ship experience on the world's oceans and a shore excursion in every port. Viking, exploring the world in comfort. Learn more at viking.com. Coming up next on Masterpiece on PBS, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office continues Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, followed by the finale of Alice and Jack at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. When filming for the series ended, Parker, Waterstone, and Woodhouse all snuck off set with a personal memento or two.
James Ellis, who's one of the props guys, when we finished, he gave me this little suitcase that was Margot's suitcase, and inside it had a lot of her belongings and makeup and things. And that made me quite moved, so I've got some of her books and her, like, lots of little trinkets and her hairbrush. And it's interesting, I've said this before, but it's interesting that back in the 30s, people actually had belongings. These days, all our stuff is so disposable. Like, we have phones or whatever. We buy bags from ASOS, but then that's it. But back then, people had proper nice belongings. They had a nice hairbrush that was theirs. That was probably given to them as a gift. They, you know, they had special things that belonged to them. And we don't really have that anymore. And so it's nice that I've got Margot's belongings. And it's sitting in my cupboard, at the top of my cupboard now. And I'm probably not going to take it down for a while. I'm just going to leave it there. Just not, it's nice to know that it's there. And maybe when I have children, I can show them and they can. I'm going to give it to them, I think.
I did steal quite a few. I'm not going to lie to you. I've got, I got given a pair of Jerry's shorts. I got a couple of shirts from Jerry. I didn't quite get his the famous hat that I wore. Because I think we rented that, we didn't own it, so I couldn't take that home. But I did get Jerry's hunting bag as well, sort of when he goes foraging. He takes his little backpack with the net on it, and it was that I got that to take. That's in my wardrobe at the minute, you know, hanging up in pride of place. And so, yeah, I got quite a few mementos. From Series 3, actually, James, our prop man, actually gave me a little tin that was in Jerry's room. And that was really, that's in my room now in Pride of Place. And I keep sort of little bits and bobs in that. And that's just little things around my room to remind me of the 4 years that we spent in Corfu. So, yeah, I did steal a fair few of Jerry's items.
I got a pair of Leslie's infamous shorts, which I need to frame at some point. I got like a polo shirt of his. One really cool thing, I got the props guy, props master gave me Leslie's police notebook from Series 3, which is like, it's like really like sort of like a real period piece, which is really cool. And then from Series 2, when Leslie sort of tries his hand at photography, all of those sort of really cool sort of sepia, black and whitey kind of photos, the art director gave me just all, like one of each of those in like this really cool frame, which I've sort of put up around my house, like each one of the Durrells, including Roger the dog. Just sort of, yeah, really sweet. Just sort of all around the house, all around my flat, which is a really, really nice sort of keepsake.
The surprisingly moving Durrell family adaptation of Homer's Odyssey didn't truly happen from what we can tell.
I am Odysseus. Come from across the sea, fearing nobody.
Ready for all.
And ready for all.
And we, the crew, willing and devoted.
This island is lush and fine.
That piece of cinematic invention was all series creator Simon Nye.
They certainly didn't do it, as far as I know. And I also I didn't want to repeat the end of the third season where there was a circus episode, which I'm rather fond of. And so this was a slightly sort of more, yes, for those, I'm not a very not very au fait with classical Greek literature, but we all know the Odyssey was a story of a, you know, an epic journey around the Mediterranean. So it was weirdly apposite, I think. And it's sort of, it's a very Larry thing to want to do, to choose a sort of a rather grandiose sort of metaphor. And whereas the rest of the family, Leslie particularly, just think, God, we have to really, I'd rather go swimming. In fact, I think he says something like that. So it was, I think it was a nice way of being a little bit pretentious, but also showing something, something sort of flamboyant and very like the Darrells would have done. And also, I'm a bit of a fan of amateur dramatics. I my parents both did it, and so I think I love to see people all acting badly, deliberately, unless it's sort of on television. And so I felt it was sort of slightly, there was a lot going on. It was a nice thing to do. And the idea of a rather uptight Greek policeman being persuaded to take a part in a silly show was also quite fun.
That final sequence in the Adriatic Sea, with the Durrell family and their Greek friends toasting goodbye to the gentle ease of Corfu, was also crucial for Nye.
You want the last image to sum up the whole, don't you, really? And I think that was, yes, right, there would be a temptation to have a slightly Sound of Music kind of ending with the chase, that wasn't the essence of the show, and so I felt that was the... this was the way to do it. I mean, the love is there, the sense of these years sort of never going away, the memory, you know, always being sort of living in them. That's what we wanted to sort of end on, really.
I can't believe it's our last day here.
Can we now, of all times, enjoy the present?
Well, that's killed the conversation.
And perhaps not surprisingly, the final scene was moving for the actors, too.
I mean, we'd filmed the same scene in series one, pretty much, with the table in the sea, and that was quite moving for us, all having spent 4 years with each other and just going back to one of the first scenes we saw in Corfu in series one and being there, being like, wow, this is, it's, we've been here. It made us realise how long we'd actually been doing it, to be honest, and how long we'd been filming it and doing the same job for 4 years. Those kind of scenes are so fun to film because there's not many jobs where you film a scene where you're eating a dinner in the sea.
I thought it was a really, really lovely ending. I thought that we did everything that we could to really bring the story to life. And I think that, you know, it's a very powerful ending. I think it's a sad... In real life, of course, it was a sad ending. The Durrells were forced to return because of the war. And I think that, you know, we really, really sort of... showed that as it was, and it was a sad time, but also very happy that they made so many fantastic memories there and so many lovely friends that they all kept in touch with. And I just thought it was really powerful the way we portrayed that, yeah.
And with that, it's a true farewell to the Durrells in Corfu, but not entirely. On Sunday, November 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, Masterpiece will air a documentary special, What the Durrells Did Next, hosted by Durrells in Corfu star Keely Hawes. You'll hear all about exactly that and revisit some of your favorite scenes from the series. Here on Masterpiece Studio, we'll hear next from Poldark star Kerry MacLean, whose role as the real-life Catherine Despard this season has gone through some dramatic ups and downs. You'll hear that Sunday, November 10th. Masterpiece Studio is hosted by me, Jace Lacob, and produced by Nick Anderson. Alicia Baitoup is our editor. Suzanne Simpson is our executive producer. The executive producer of Masterpiece is Rebecca Eaton. Sponsors for Masterpiece on PBS are Viking Cruises, Raymond James, and the Masterpiece Trust. Masterpiece Studio is officially a Webby Awards nominee for 2024. We are honored to be considered among such talented competition, but we need your vote. Head over to vote.webbyawards.com and vote for Masterpiece Studio in the podcast section, where you'll find us listed in the general television and film category. Voting closes Thursday, April 18th, so be sure to get your vote in soon. That's vote.webbyawards.com. Thank you.